Good morning. Scripture for this morning is printed for you in your bulletin. It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We've been working through the Advent season, and these Advent candles, one per Sunday, each stands for a promise of God that He's given to us. And we're going to see from St. Paul in his words to the Corinthian believers that Paul and Timothy and Silas, who had been laboring there in Greece to these Corinthians, we'll see that Paul says, you know, when I spoke to you about Christ and his promises and all the things that he has brought to us through this word, he says, when I came to you, he said, I didn't come with a yes and no. I didn't come to you speaking that perhaps or maybe. He said, I came to you definitively, and I spoke with authority from God. And when I spoke, I want you to realize in my speaking that Christ is a firm yes on everything good that God offers you. Let's read about it here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Please stand as we read from the Word of God. Hear the words of St. Paul through the Holy Spirit of God. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, Messiah, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen, or so be it, is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm. How? In Christ. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Every now and then, a joke about my experience in the distant past. Some of you know I've had the esteemed high privilege of participating in a very challenging contest among the elite way back in the sixth grade with my classmates. And unfortunately, I won that contest, that sixth grade spelling bee. And a few of you know that for 47 years, I've been checking the mailbox, waiting for my promised award. You know, that model airplane that the sixth grade teacher promised me, who had won the contest. Unfortunately, the teacher has passed on. I guess I should stop checking the mailbox, hoping that the promise is not empty, but I have a feeling that that one will never be fulfilled. Fortunately, God is not like us humans. In Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a man that he should lie, or that he should change his mind. In Numbers, it says, does God speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I had a little booklet in my hands just the other day. It's called Promises for Students. I started counting them, all the promises that were extracted from the Bible and put in this little book. And after about one-third of the way through the book, I said, this is taking too long. Let me estimate. So a very conservative estimate was they had at least 300 or 400 promises from the Bible and had placed them in this little booklet and grouped them into categories to encourage us along the way. Had they grouped them into categories over this Advent season, they could have been promises about hope, promises that God brings us light, promises that God offers us peace. He promises you love. He promises you salvation. Let's review some of this Advent season and the themes that we've been thinking about. Let's first of all talk about the first Advent promise for this year, the promise of hope. We've said in front of the congregation, the Lord has come to bring us hope. And the Lord will come again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jeremiah 29:11, and you can extract a promise on hope almost anywhere in the Bible. If you look for a little while, you'll come up with one. Here's one. Jeremiah 20:11, a familiar one. Scripture says, God speaking, I have plans for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you a hope, and not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future. Of course, St. Paul wished the same thing for his listeners. In Romans 15:13, Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's much in life to discourage us, and you've discovered that by now. You just have to be here for a little while, and it's not hard to figure out that we can be discouraged by guilt from the past. We can be discouraged by frustration in the present or worry about the future. And we could mention some details. Perhaps your grades, perhaps the everyday grind troubles you. It could be a broken relationship, financial worries, and you know, the faces change and the seasons change as to when these troubles come. But in all things, the Lord promised us hope, no matter what is pressing in upon us. As the Lord says, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. In fact, in Romans 15:4, it says, everything that was written in the past, and there's been a lot of happening in God's history, and God has captured some of those stories and some of those historical events, and He's put those in the Bible for a specific reason. Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So God doesn't want you walking around feeling overwhelmed. And if you are feeling overwhelmed, in the midst of that overwhelming feeling, He wants an underwhelming, or I should say a rising up feeling of hope, knowing that you can deal with this through the grace of God. You know, I read recently in our Daily Bread a story about a man who was called No Hope Carter. And this man apparently was in a psychiatric ward. He had contracted VD. Venereal disease, and which eventually was working into his brain. And they said, he went to the doctors and he says, tell me something good. He wanted to hear some good news. And they said, we're sorry, but there's nothing we can do. He says, there's no known cure for your disease. And death is inevitable. And this, of course, wasn't an older man. It was a man who should have had a number of years left in his life. And it was getting close to the time when he was dying. It was actually about 2 weeks before he actually died. He's walking around, apparently still able to move up and down, walk around. And he was saying two words. He had just two words as he paced up and down with a shriveled face and a blank stare. And he just kept saying, no hope. No hope. He said nothing else. How terrible it is to be in a situation where you just feel that there's no hope, that you can't fix something, there's nothing you can do, nobody can give you a pill to make it go away, and you just feel like this is the end. I'm trapped and there's no way out. However, this Christmas season, let's thank the Lord, because Christ has come to bring us hope. He's come to bring us hope, and the Lord will come again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As He says through Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. He's speaking to His people, those who believe in Him, declares the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And of course, St. Paul says that all the promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ. They're yes. They're not just some words on a piece of paper. The second Advent candle, as we move from the candle of hope, is the candle of light. Of course, this one, we just have the one here now. This is Christ. This is the Christ candle, the fulfillment of all God's promises. But the second one in the second Advent candle or Sunday of the season is the candle of light. We've said the Lord has come to bring us light. And we could extract a promise in that regard. And depending on where you went in the Scripture, I've chosen one from the book of John where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. There's a promise. Christ says, I'm the light. And if you follow me, there's a condition to follow Christ. Then here it is. You'll never have to go through your life walking around in darkness. You'll never walk in darkness. Well, 32 years ago, I was lost, walking around in the dark, and not knowing where I'd come from, not knowing where I was going, and I didn't know why I was here. And for me, life was, it was confusing, it was perplexing, it was a mystery, and I was on a quest to figure it out. And if you got my yearbook out upon graduation, way back when, you could see my picture and what the fellow students had put under my picture. And this committee got together, fellow students, and they would say, well, let's think about Dan Broadwater. What can we say about him? And they had a little discussion, apparently, and they put something in there. First, they put your nickname, Boone. As people still call me Boone today. I want you every now and then to call the offices, Boone there. Reverend Boone, who's he? But I used to own a pool hall, you know, Boone's Billiards. Boone's Classic Billiards. But under my name, or picture was my nickname, and then this saying, drifting and dreaming. That's what my classmates thought of me. Here's a guy who's going through life, drifting and dreaming. And of course, the drifting and dreaming was because I was lost. Didn't know where I'd come from, where I was going, why I was here. Fortunately, someone introduced me to Christ. I know where I'm coming, where I've come from. I know where I'm going, and I know why I'm here. And I mean, just say, if you're lost, you haven't figured out some of those things about your direction, you know, talk to me. Talk to one of the officers in the church. Our doors are open. And we can tell you how to get a little light on your life and find purpose and meaning. For it has something to do with this man who said, I am the light of the world. Come, you follow me, and you know what? You don't need to worry about walking around in darkness again. The Scripture says, James, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. And so when we come, you know, we're seeking light on to help us and through the darkness. We've got to believe that God is real, that God's going to give us the light that we need, and that He's going to help us along the way. And I think we'll find that that help is going to have something to do with Christ and His entrance into our world. The Lord has come to bring us light. The Lord has also come to bring us peace. I should probably solicit some of the promises there from you as you think about this peace. And some of you especially need it during because of a certain situation that you're facing. But here's a promise that I've selected from Psalm 85:8. believers hear God's promise of peace. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to His people, His saints. Hear it again. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to His people, His saints. You know, it was said about Martin Luther. Luther was going through for a walk in the woods and was talking to the birds. He says, "Good morning, theologians." He says, "Why, you wake up and you start singing. But I, the old fool that I am, I know less than you. And so I worry over everything instead of simply trusting in my Heavenly Father's care." Martin Luther. Why is it that we can't relax? Why is it that we can't simply rest in God's care? Why is it that we have a hard time waking up realizing that if we know Christ, we're God's child, and that no matter how hard the day is or how challenging it may be, that we can always somehow, in the midst of the turmoil, be at rest? Why is that so hard? Luther says the birds are smarter than him. They're like theologians. They wake up and they're singing. But we wake up and we're already thinking, "Oh my God." That's why we say TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. We don't have to go through another week like that. For ministers, we need to say, "Thank God it's Monday." No different from you. Someone said, "Those who worry spend a lot of time shoveling smoke." Someone else said, "Life has two handles, the handle of worry and the handle of faith. The handle of worry pulls around a wagon of fear. The handle of faith pulls around a wagon of peace." Are you trusting in God's promise that, hey, you know, you're going to be okay here? There's another scripture that says, "He whose mind is stayed upon Jehovah will be in perfect peace." There's a short story circulating around about the Emperor Augustus. And the story says that the emperor heard that a certain gentleman of Rome had a huge burden of debt, a huge financial debt that he couldn't pay it off. And that's very troubling. It can be. You know, you get that credit card maxed, and like you're thinking, "I don't even know if I should get another credit card, but I got to have one." And, you know, you're carrying around this debt. And so the Emperor Augustus hears that somehow this guy, as much as he's having this great debt, he still sleeps well at night. He sleeps like a baby. I'm not sure some of your babies don't sleep so well, but you know the old saying, "You're sleeping like a baby." It means like you sleep quiet, long, a good night's sleep. Just sleep straight through. Nothing to wake you up. And so supposedly Emperor Augustus wanted to buy the man's bed. And he did. Supposedly, the story says. Needless to say, he soon found out that you don't buy a good night's sleep with money. You see, just having somebody else's bed is not going to help you. You get the best posturpedic in the world. You know, a good night's sleep has little to do with your bed and a lot to do with your head. You know, is your head filled with the promise of God's care? Is your head filled with Christ and what He promises to you? You know, we can lay in bed at night and we can be filled with all kinds of thoughts drifting in every direction. But Scripture says it's the one whose mind is stayed upon Yahweh, Jehovah. That's Christ. It's that one who will find a place to put his head down in peace and sleep well. Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep in perfect peace he whose mind is stayed upon you." The Lord has come to bring us peace. I pray you believe that. And if you're being restless this season, find a promise, cling to it, and just rest on it. I think you're going to sleep better. Also, the fourth Advent candle is the candle of love. The Lord has come to bring us love. And of course, this scripture, you're not going to have to look very far. You'll find it all over the Bible. I pulled one out, a promise out from Lamentations 3. You know it. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. By the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. Let me ask you, is Christ committed to love us? Or if you put it this way, is God committed to love you, His people? Has He made a commitment to you to love you through thick and thin? He knows that there's some things that need fixed in your life, and He knows that you're not quite right. You've got some improvement to do. But is He committed to you in spite of those things that you're struggling with? I read recently about a 5-year-old child, Mary, who needed an operation. And as they were undertaking this operation, it turns out she also needed a blood transfusion. Not a good situation to be in. Well, fortunately, they found out that her 13-year-old brother, his blood was a good match. And so they approached him and said, you know, your sister really needs this operation pretty badly. But she also needs your blood. Would you be willing to give her your blood? And he looked at the doctor and kind of clenched his teeth and paused and said, okay, I'll do it. And as they were, he was on the table and they were doing this blood transfusion, the doctor noticed that his 13-year-old brother, he was turning pale. You know, he's turning white. And the doctor said, Jimmy, he said, are you getting ill? He said, no. He said, but I have a question. Doctor says, yeah. He says, I was wondering just when am I going to die? The doctor said, what do you mean? Do you think people who give their blood have to die? He said, yeah. And then the doctor said, do you mean that you're ready to die for your little sister? He said, yeah. He said, just, I'd like to know when. When's it going to happen? Friends, this is love. This is love. This is real love. I trust that it's a real story, a real true story. I know another story that is real. The Apostle Paul says, I pray that you who believe may have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, which surpasses all understanding. You see, there's no greater way to measure or to answer the question, does God really love me? Is He really committed to me? There's no greater way to answer that question. No louder way to put an exclamation mark on the answer. And that is, you measure God's love for you as you measure the nail prints in Christ's hands. Lamentations says, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. For His compassions never fail, and they are new every morning. It's just not some man who died way back then, 2,000 years ago. But somehow that cross is powerful enough and effective enough, and those nail prints have bled enough in those hands so that His blood can somehow touch us and bring His love to us here today. The Lord has come to bring us love. I pray that if you ever wake up any morning and you wonder whether God really loves you and cares about you, I pray that you would get your mind straightened as soon as you can. You know, wrap it around the promise of God and preach the gospel to yourself. Do whatever you need to do to renew that understanding that you're a child of God. Christ has sacrificed His life for you. And that no matter what you face today, His love is there to embrace you, see you through. The final candle of Advent, beyond the candle of love, is the candle of salvation. The Lord has come to bring us salvation. The scripture I selected was taken from Hebrews 9:28. It's a great text where this unknown writer, inspired by God, in writing to the Hebrew believers, he says, "Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin again, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him." Let me read it again. "Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him." The promise is a heavenly salvation that Christ is going to bring to earth. And the condition is that it's coming to those who are waiting for Him. So the question comes, are you waiting for His return? I know we're celebrating this season His first arrival, His first appearance, but are you waiting for His second appearance? Because if you're waiting for His second appearance, He says His salvation is on the way. His salvation is coming. It's just not something that we have down here from a distance by faith, but it's a reality and it's soon to come. At 7:47 this morning, I got a phone call. Christmas morning, my brother has a habit of waking me up. He forgets that I don't have 4-year-olds and 6-year-olds. I mean, these are almost no longer teenagers. And we'll just take our time getting up on the holidays, right? So he's calling over there and doesn't realize we have no 8:15 service this morning, no Sunday school, you know. I don't really have to be here for a while. So my wife is up, though, preparing some food and doing something. But I'm there sleeping away, and she comes in the room with the phone. I'm looking over, 7:47, who is it? Probably my brother, who usually calls when you're in bed. He's on a different time schedule. Anyway, so he's calling from Frostburg. And so I'm thinking, well, he's gone to wish me Merry Christmas. La-di-da. Okay. So, but that was a tack on. He says, Boone, says, I've got a phone call here. I've got a prayer request. This is a guy who doesn't profess to believe in Christ. He says, I want you to pray for our friend Kenny Pollack. He's a former state trooper. One who actually was involved in a while back, was up on I-70. There was this guy who was going like 90 or 100 miles an hour the wrong way. I don't know if you remember that. It was quite a few years ago. And this policeman like turned his car around real quick and tried to block the road so he wouldn't injure anybody. And the policeman didn't have time to get out of the car. And the car got slammed and he ended up being quite injured. I think he had to retire after that from the state police. But anyway, so he calls me. He says, Kenny had a stroke. He's like my age. So he had a stroke. He says the outcome is precarious. They don't know how he's going to be. I appreciate if you pray for him in church today. And we will here when we close in a minute. But you see, we need prayers for grace. We need prayers for God's help. We need Him to save us and rescue us from this precarious, dubious situation that we can find ourselves in. Because you never know who's going to suffer next. You never know when someone's going to call at 7:47. Or you don't know whether you're the one going to have to be calling, asking for for the help. And it comes in different forms. This year has been a hard year for us, you know. There have been strokes in our own congregation, cancer. There have been major surgeries. Some of you have lost loved ones. It's been a hard year. And it's not looking any better right now, by the way, with the things that have been happening around us. And so we need to pray and we need to cling to God's promise of salvation, that we are in the process of being saved by Jesus Christ. We have His coming to be born as a child, to rescue us, to salvage us, to save us. And we believe in that salvation, which includes forgiveness of sins, but it also believes in something, it's also something greater. It's to be saved from the broken human condition. It's to be saved from the terminal illness. It's to be saved from your broken relationships. He's coming to save us from all that is broken in our lives. He's coming to deliver us from our broken human condition. And so, fellow believers, here are God's promises for you. God promises you hope. He promises you peace. God promises you light to guide you. He promises you His love, which is measured at the cross. And He promises you His coming salvation, which will ultimately rescue you from all your problems. So we never need to totally despair. How do we know God will keep His promises? How do we know? You know, every now and then you see a commercial come on. They're trying to sell you something, you know. And they're selling you a watch or a ring or a suit. And they say, get this thing and you're going to like it. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. You know, of course, you want one of these things, you buy it and you get a hold of it. And then you say, oh, that guarantee had a little loophole in it, you know. We had a car, brand new car. It's like a transmission fell down on the road. It's dragging around. And I take it in to get it repaired. And I have one of these extended warranties. And I says, I know the transmission's covered because they told me. And then they pulled it out and they says, ah, not so. It's a $1,400 repair. They want me to pay it. And I says, yeah, the transmission's guaranteed, but not the bolts. One of the bolts broke. That's why it fell. Let me tell you something. God has no loopholes. Mark, by the way, had to come over and we towed the car out of there. We said, we're not letting them fix that thing. Mark ended up fixing it on his own for like $100 or something. But this world can't give you the kind of guarantee that God can give us. God says, when I make a promise, here's my guarantee. My guarantee is in myself. When I come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, my guarantee is in that manger. As this little child's born, God in the flesh. My guarantee is in my life, my perfect life. Which is the kind of guarantee you need. You need a perfect life if you want God's blessing. And you don't have it apart from Christ. And moreover, you know what? You need to take care of that judgment that's coming. Christ's guarantee that you're going to be okay from the judgment because He's judged in your place. Moreover, God is satisfied and we know it because He's now alive at the right hand. He's ascended on high. And He's your guarantee. He's your help. And so I say, in the face of the storm this week, this year, this season, keep trusting in God's promises and watch Christ see you through. Because all of God's promises are yes and amen, guaranteed in Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas. Thank you. Father, we bow before you. We do pray for Kenny Pollack in this, having this terrible stroke. Pray for His mercy, Your mercy upon his life. We ask that You might touch him in body and spirit. Pray for our church and many families and the trials and tests that we've been facing recently and will face in the near future. Help us to find a promise and give us the faith to believe and to keep trusting in You. And Lord, we pray that Jesus Christ would continue to hold us and hold us well along the way. Thank You, Lord, for coming to the manger, but more importantly, than going to the cross to die on our behalf to guarantee your help for all eternity. Keep us trusting in you by your grace and hear our prayers. For your sake and for our own benefit, in Christ's name, amen.